About to do it like this, about to do it like this.
Easter's here, everyone.
Saturday, March 25th, Lighthouse Christian Church will be hosting our second annual Easter extravaganza. Join us at Lighthouse for a day of fun for the whole family. There will be games for all ages, inflatables for the kids, and great food for the entire family. There's going to be tons of fun and prizes for everyone. Oh, wait. Did we say lots of candy? There's going to be so much candy.
The event's located at our church at 1250 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island, Florida. So mark your calendars now for March the 25th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Lighthouse Easter Extravaganza is almost here. We hope to see you there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin, from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On. This is an outreach ministry of Lighthouse Christian Church. We are doing a topical Bible study on the air with each and every one of you. We hope you have tuned into the program and are going to enjoy our topic today. I always like to do the program with a special guest, and my guest today is Pastor Mark Cook from Graving Grace Ministries.
What's
over
up?
In Cocoa, Florida. Pastor
yeah.
Mark, welcome.
How are you doing, Pastor Kevin?
Hey, doing really good. I always love having you on the program, Pastor Mark, because you know what? We can go deep.
You know,
I think sometimes, you know, we skate the shallow end and kind of float and frolic, you know, but you like to go straight to the drain on the bottom of the deep end. And I love that about you, you know, and we can say that reference because it's warming up now. Our pools are getting warm enough
sure.
to jump in. The kid, I think my
if
daughter
there's any
jumped
water
in the
left
pool
in
the
them,
other
it needs
day,
to rain.
You know, yeah, and, you know, I've basically paid all this money all winter, you know, to keep the pool up, but you know, it's clean, it's good, and everything's warming up. So you're ready to go to the drain
yeah,
today?
Yeah, it'll be fun.
There,
I think it can be a ton of fun to go down there, man.
Funny pool story before we jump in. You know, I like to practice holding my breath in my pool. So I have like one of those 15-pound weights that I bought at a yard sale. It's kind of got the rubber around it.
Yeah.
And I'll jump in my pool and I'll have a little mask on, and because I'm a surfer, everybody, in case you didn't know that, I surf. So I like to practice holding my breath, you know, so I'll get down there and have my watch and my weight holding me on the bottom. But it's so weird, you know, when you're sitting in total surrounding of water like that, the peace that you can actually experience in that. And it kind of reminds me of God's presence in a way, you know, when it gets thick, when it comes into the room, you know, it surrounds you, and almost like that water surrounds you when I'm sitting on the bottom of the pool. But I don't know why I'm sharing that. Maybe I was for somebody out there. But you know what? Sometimes you just got to be still, and you got to stop. You got to hold your breath for a minute.
Yes.
And just let yourself realize where you're at in life, and you know, just be encouraged out there that God is, his presence is around you all the time. We're just not aware of it sometimes.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I was just thinking
nugget.
When you said that. I think you know, you might be in a place where you feel like you're maybe alone. Fact is, God is always
he's fully
there.
Fully surrounding you like that
fully
water
surrounding
in that pool.
You. Yeah.
All the time.
He's totally
know?
There.
So, anyway, we talked earlier, and you came up with the idea of talking a little bit about the references between Adam and Christ.
Yeah.
And I loved that. I thought it was really cool. So I know you've got a couple of different scriptures and things that you want to hit on. So I'm going to open us up in prayer, because I think this one's going to maybe be a deep end and a little bit of a challenge for some people. So I'm going to pray real quick. Lord, I just thank you that as we go into this topic of referencing Adam and Christ and how they are correlated in Scripture, that you would just open our minds and our hearts, and that you would just give us new revelation about who we are in Christ Jesus and in the new creation and in our creation itself through Adam. God, you have always desired to have a relationship with us and to surround us like that water in that pool. So we're just believing now for you to speak through your word. I just thank you and give you all the glory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, Pastor Mark.
Amen. Well, thanks, Pastor Kevin. Man, this got exciting because I talked about this at Braving Grace last Sunday, I believe it was, and we got to talk about just the fact that Adam is a type of Jesus. And so I'll kind of picture, you know, so why would we talk about this? You know, Adam's the guy who sinned and got us into the mess, and isn't that all we need to know? There's so much more. And the purpose of looking at these things for me is it just helps me to see more of who Jesus is and how amazing he is.
Yeah,
and that's really the point.
Sure.
And the more you see him and the more you fall in love with him, then the more you're going to want to be close to him. The more you're going to want to press in and learn more about him. The more you're going to want to open your Bible and go, wait a minute, because here's the thing, Pastor Kevin, and you know this. What we open our Bibles and see is the same thing that every listener can open their Bibles and see.
Absolutely.
Just because we're pastors doesn't mean we have different glasses that we see our Bible through. It's learning how to see our Bible through Jesus. Period.
Yeah.
And everybody can do that and get turned on.
That's so good.
Right. So. Adam, we all know, Adam and Eve, they sinned in the garden.
Yeah.
They did what God told them not to do. And
back
everything surrounding, all the way back in Genesis. And everything surrounding that is key. In fact, your theology about Christianity can't exist apart from Adam.
It can't.
The Bible, the way that it tells that God created Adam out of the dust of the ground, is pivotal to our own salvation.
Absolutely.
You can't have one. You can't skip Adam and say we evolved out of, you know, whatever, and still have Jesus. You can't get there.
Can't bring evolution into
the It's not
the
possible. Theologically, it does not work.
It's the Bible or it's not.
Exactly.
You know,
so,
and we know it's the Bible.
Yeah, and we know it
wondering.
Is. But just for clarity, you can't have Jesus without Adam. The Jesus that we know, the Jesus that walked the earth, Emmanuel, can't have him without Adam.
Well,
so,
you had the Big Bang theory, you know, and I believe in the Big Bang theory. You know, God, you know, he spoke.
And bang.
And bang, it happened. You know, the earth was created through God's words, and he formed Adam, and he breathed into him, and bang, you know, he came to life.
Bang, and all through
Big
Jesus.
Bangs all over the place in Scripture.
There's everywhere. So I'm going
to
read. No, that's good. So just to kind of set the stage for why we're going here, I'm going to read a little bit of an extended passage. So I'm going to read kind of quickly. So kind of just buckle up. Where I'm in Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 12 through 21. And I'm going to read them fast, but it's going to give us a stage here. So I'm in the New King James. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. Listen to this, who was a type of him who was to come. That's important. Yes.
Very good.
The free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense, that's talking about Adam's sin, many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's disobedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Ooh.
So much here, and we're not going to try to go verse by verse, but look at what this says. It says that for everything Adam did, Jesus did something on the other side of the coin, and it's better. It's much more.
Right.
So Adam sinned. And in Adam's sinning, that had huge effect because it brought death into the world, and it made us heirs of his sin nature.
Sure.
We all inherited it.
Right.
And so that seems like, wow, that's a lot. How could there be anything, you know, how can something be bigger than that? Well, then it says, well, that Jesus came, and by his righteous act of sacrificing himself and taking our sin, that's actually more than what Adam did. It's more than what Adam did, because if Adam's death can sentence, or if Adam's sin can sentence us to death and condemnation, Jesus brings us to life and righteousness, and not just life, eternal life.
Yes.
And righteousness that's not our righteousness, it's God's righteousness. He gives us righteousness that we could never have earned, and he gives us life that we could never hope to have.
Yeah.
It's much, and the Bible says here that it's much more. So if Adam sinned and caused everybody to die, Jesus, through his sacrifice, can cause everybody to have eternal life, not just life. Like, Jesus didn't take what Adam did, and like, if you think that Adam put us into debt, and then Jesus came and he paid the debt, and now we're even. No, Jesus didn't pay.
He didn't pay even.
Jesus paid much more than we can ever ask or imagine. He paid much more. And so
in him we won the lottery,
per
se. He gave us everything, every need met.
Beyond anything we could ever expect.
He took away the curses.
Took away it all.
Everything.
And look at what he said to Adam. And you have this awesome list, Pastor Kevin, of types. And so it says that Adam was a type of him who was to come. So Adam was, what did we see in Genesis? We see that Adam was in the garden and he was tempted. Well, then what did Jesus do? Jesus was tempted. Adam fell when he was tempted. Jesus won over temptation.
Right.
The devil came to him and said, if you'll worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms. If you'll worship me, I'll make these stone, you know, you'll be able to have everything that I can give you. And he had to say, you know, if you're the Son of God.
Yeah.
Well, how did the tempter tempt Adam and Eve? He said, "Has God said?"
Really?
Has God said? And when he came to Jesus, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "No, God has said."
Right.
Right. I mean, like,
it is written.
Yes, you're looking at types. What Adam did, where Adam failed, Jesus not only succeeded, but won the victory.
Right.
Right.
And like, put us over the top.
Over the top.
Over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what you're saying is basically the first Adam, you know, he turned from God, Jesus turned us to God.
Yes.
You know, and in every aspect of that. You know what I love about that is that it happened in the garden.
In the garden.
Adam
what else happened
in the garden?
Yeah.
And then Jesus, you know, he was the second Adam. You know, they call Jesus the second Adam.
Yes.
You know, Adam was a type of him who was to come.
Yes.
So there, it's like, you know, Jesus was always part of the plan. I think we forget.
Yes.
I think we always, how do I say this? I think that we believe that God had to kind of throw this plan together after the fact because Adam sinned and ate of the tree. Now God's like, "Oh no, we got a plan B." No,
right.
Jesus was plan A.
He's always
been. You know,
he's plan Alpha.
Adam was the type of him who was to come. You know, and I always share this that you know we were given free will through the tree. God had to put the tree in the garden, knowing Adam and Eve were gonna eat of the tree. I mean, the Bible teaches us that Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world.
Yes.
So the second Adam was always the plan.
Yes.
So that God could actually give us free will. We could make a choice. Even though we made the wrong choice, God was going to overcome that wrong choice so that he would actually be able to find those who truly would love him.
Yes.
You see, I think free will was given to us so that true love could exist.
Yeah, you can't.
We said it before.
Without love, you can't have it.
But, you know, Adam, you know, turned from the Father in the Garden of Eden, and then the second Adam turned to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yes.
And when he's sweating blood. He's
sweating
like,
blood. So what was the
I'm
curse?
I'm willing to do this.
What
not
was the
my
curse?
Will, but your will be done.
And God said to Adam when he fell, he said, "So from now on, by the sweat of your face, the ground is cursed because of you.
Yes.
And by the sweat of your face, you'll eat bread.
There it
and
is.
As you try to plant, the thorns and thistles will fight you."
Right.
Right. Adam went from having everything provided to now having to sweat and fight thorns and thistles to get his bread. And what did Jesus do? He went back to the garden. He wore a crown of thorns. He sweat drops of blood. And it specifically says that his drops of blood fell to the ground.
Yeah,
everything that God said, from now on, this is cursed because of sin. Right. Jesus came back and said, I'm going to redeem all of it. He sweated. God said, you'll eat bread by the sweat of your face. Jesus said, I'll sweat for them, Lord.
Right.
He said, thorns and thistles are going to fight you. Jesus said, I'll wear the thorns and thistles for them, Lord.
Yeah.
He said, the ground is going to resist you and is cursed. And Jesus said, I'll put my blood on the ground and I'll redeem the ground for them, Father.
That's so good.
Everything that Adam got us into, Jesus came back and very specifically and with detail redeemed every single step of it.
Right.
It's so powerful.
So the first Adam's sin brought us thorns.
Yes.
The last Adam wore a crown of thorns.
Come on.
And through the blood that was shed through that, washed away that particular curse.
Yes.
Of the thorns. You know, the first Adam lost the tree of life, and the second Adam became the tree of life.
Yes.
You know, it says, you know, curses everyone who hangs on a tree. Well, Jesus
hung
on
the
tree and became.
Yeah, it was at a tree that we lost our righteousness, and it's at a tree that we get it back.
That's so
Come
good.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're listening to this, this has got to be stirring something in you to begin to just see, wait a minute, there's so much more to Jesus.
Yeah.
There's so much more than I knew.
You know, the first Adam substituted himself for God.
Come on.
You know what I mean? But the
because
last
what it,
Adam
yeah, well, let me
God.
Unpack
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Because the tempter came and he said, "Wait, if you do this, you'll be like God."
Like God, yeah.
Yeah.
Knowing, you know.
And so then what?
Good and evil. And then it says, so the first Adam substituted himself for God. The last Adam was God substituting himself for us.
Come on.
Jesus became our substitute.
The penalty that was due, because what is the wage of sin?
Death.
It's death.
But the gift of God is eternal life
in
Christ Jesus.
Yes. It is so much more.
So
just
we've
like
been
we read.
In Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So much. We just read all in this in Romans. It says, for what? So basically, if you look at this, what Adam did, but what Jesus did. What Adam did, but what Jesus did. And it's so good. And it says that through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. And therefore, death spread to all men.
Right.
Like, we're so aware of that. We all know that it's out there. We all know that death is out there. And it's this challenge because, you know, when you're young, you're like, I'm going to live forever. But even when you're young, you lose people. You lose friends, right? And you're like, wait, that's a rough wake-up call. But,
sure.
And then people live based on fear. You know, in Hebrews chapter 2, it says that Jesus came to free those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage.
Yeah.
The death that sin caused us to fear because Adam brought it in, Jesus came not only to free us from the death, but to free us from the fear of it.
Yeah.
I mean, every single bit of it, Jesus flipped tables, right? He's
right.
A table flipping savior, man.
Yeah.
He flipped tables in the temple and he flipped the whole script that the devil thought he was writing in the Garden of Eden. Jesus came and said, every single thing, I'm going to flip and redeem every step of this.
That's awesome. You know, it says that, you know, I love this, but it's the gift by grace of one man.
Yes.
Jesus Christ abounded to many.
Mm.
You know, and I you know, your ministry is braving grace.
Braving grace.
You know, and the bravery that Jesus had to release grace, to be that punishment. You know, imagine being, you know, God himself and you know, Jesus learned who he was through the scriptures. He was born just as a baby.
Yeah.
He, you know, he was God, but he had to learn from the word who he was, you know, and as he learned, wow, I'm the sacrifice. I'm the, you know, I'm the salvation of humanity. You know, this is a big deal, you know, and he's in the garden, like we said, just sweating. And he's already, his blood is already being poured out,
yes.
You know, and even in that moment. For the sins of all of us. And you know, there was a huge price, is all I'm really trying to say, that had to be paid. And it had to be paid in blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins.
Yep.
And we talked earlier in the program, you know, in the last few weeks about that blood sacrifice and how, you know, Jesus' blood was perfect. And we even, you know, talked about how through the placenta that a mother's blood can't ever touch a baby, the baby's blood, you know, and it was just like,
totally
pow,
separate,
you know, just amazing eye-opening things. But I think that what we're really, you know, trying to get across today is that, you know what, there's a trade.
There's an incredible trade.
It's a trade.
What a good word. I love that. Look at what it says here in Romans chapter 5. It says that in verse 18, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. You know, in Adam, we receive judgment and condemnation. We inherit Adam's nature. And so the sin that Adam did created a sin nature that we have. And so through that offense, judgment is there for every single one of us. There is the judgment of God. Now, how do we escape that? If I'm born into Adam and I'm condemned now, I stand before God condemned as a sinner with a sin nature, and the Bible says that I'm an enemy of God. In fact, in the passage, in this same chapter, we didn't read this, but if you back up a few verses, it says in verse 10 of chapter 5, when we were enemies of God, we were reconciled. We were actually enemies of God. We're not. God's not a stranger that we need to get to know. God is someone that we are an enemy to outside of Christ Jesus.
He's righteous. He's holy. Yeah. He's perfect and pure. And
we're condemned. And, nothing we can do can fix it.
Sin can't be in God's presence.
And so nothing we can do can fix it.
He wants to be our enemy. He has to be, because his holiness will demand righteousness over us. And people drop dead in the Bible when the presence of God came. Because of his holiness.
So how do we get there?
You know?
And that's what makes this so important. So because man gave away what God had given him, man had to redeem what God had given him.
Yeah.
That's that whole concept. That's why there had to be another man. That's why Paul keeps saying in here, through one man this, but through another man this. Because man had to redeem what man gave away. And that's why Jesus had to become a man. That's why it says I forget which one it is, maybe it's 2 Timothy, that we read that it's the man Christ Jesus that intercedes for us and that stands as a mediator. And so what happened there? The offense through one man resulted in judgment and condemnation. It says, therefore also through one man's righteous act, the free gift came.
I love that.
So through one man, we're condemned and judged, and there's nothing we can do about it, except we can receive. What does it say in verse 17? Those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign.
Yeah.
We will never earn our own righteousness,
right.
But what Jesus did totally turned around what Adam did, and if we will receive it, we are fully made righteous, and now we're not an enemy of God. But there's a real reality there, Pastor Kevin,
that
if you don't receive what Jesus did, what the new man did,
you're going to have to pay
stuck.
On your own.
You're
going to have to pay for your own sins.
Yes.
And, man, that's not a good day.
It's not a payment we can afford.
I don't have to pay for my sins. You know? But I want to key in on the verse 16 where it said, you know, but the free gift. Can I say something? It's a free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. You see, God is in the justification business, and that's a Christianese term, but it really just means God wants to, you know, he wants to redeem you.
It's like an acquittal.
He wants to release you from a guilty charge.
It's a judge saying not guilty.
It's like, you know, Jesus paid the price for your punishment. So God is looking at you and he's going, all right, you can go free.
Yeah.
And it's a free gift, but it's in the Son. You have to make the choice to give your life to Jesus Christ. And that is where that justification comes from. So once again, Mark, this is such an amazing topic. We're going to take a quick break here from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back here at Turn the Light On. Once again, we thank all of you guys for listening.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time in worship and learning. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the Fellowship Hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, we want to say thank you to our sponsors for helping make Turn the Light On a possibility, because, you know, it takes everybody doing their part to get the Word of God out and into the hearts of people. So, Pastor Mark, we've been talking about Adam and Christ and the correlation between the two. It's been powerful, man. Share a little bit more with us about this topic. We've been in Romans chapter 5, verse 12 through 21. If you guys are wanting to have a reference to go back, you need to go back and study this stuff.
Yes, everybody. You need to open up Genesis and just read chapter 3 and then come read Romans chapter 5. You're going to see so many. So we've just been looking at, well, what Adam did and then what Jesus did. And what Jesus did is so much more. And it, whatever, for everything that Adam did, there's another side to the coin of what Jesus did, and it's better. The Bible says that in the Old Testament, everything was types and shadows telling us about Jesus. Right. And that what we have in the New Testament is not only the true, the accurate copy, but it's better than everything else. And so Jesus is the true and better Adam. He's the real Adam. You know, one of the things that we talked about was that Adam, as a man, he sinned and he died a sinner. Jesus came, did not sin, and died for sinners.
Right.
Right. I mean, just think about that. Just think about that correlation. Adam sinned, condemned us all to death, and he died a sinner. Jesus came and never sinned. Yeah. Yet he bore our sin in our place and redeemed us from sin.
It's just so good. I mean, died for sinners.
Yeah, he died for sinners. So Adam put us all under sin. Jesus has made it an option for us to choose life. Now, Adam, we inherit what Adam did by default.
Right.
We get what Jesus did by choice.
That's by faith. You have to, by faith, receive.
Because it's available to every single person. You know,
that's where the free will comes back.
This will blow some minds, Pastor Kevin. God is not counting the sins of the world against it.
No, they've all been paid for.
Every single sin has been paid for. Sometimes we're like, oh, those sinners, God's going to judge them for their sin. No, their sin was paid for by Christ Jesus. He paid for every single one. The choice is whether you'll accept it.
People must understand that the only real thing that God is going to judge people for is whether or not they accepted the gift of his son. Everything else has been paid for. And then if you don't let Jesus pay for it, you get to pay for it yourself. And that's not going to be a good
thing. Not good.
But anyway, we want to just say thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Pastor Mark, I'd like to maybe have you come back tomorrow. I think we've got more of this.
Oh, yeah.
I think we can talk about this a little bit more. So I'm going to have you back tomorrow. But just wanted to take a moment and invite everyone out for our Easter extravaganza, March the 25th. That's coming up. It's going to be Saturday from 10 to 2 here at Lighthouse, 1250 North Banana River Drive. We hope that you can make it out for that. It's going to be a great event, bounce houses for the kids, all that stuff. So come on out and be a part of what's happening at Lighthouse, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.